Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome to this afternoon's reflection. On this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, we use the Collect, Old Testament Lesson, Epistle, and Gospel for Proper 19. Our readings for today, Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21, Psalm 103, Romans 14, 1 to 12, Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honor him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we are your people, not because we are worthy, but by your grace alone. We are your people who have come in joy and thanksgiving. We are your people, and we have come to praise you. We are your people, and we have come to give you the worship you deserve. We are your people, and we have come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man,
We pray the collect for Proper 19, followed by the collect for Holy Cross Day, which we celebrate tomorrow, the 14th of September, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we, who glory in the mystery of our redemption, may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Forgiveness. How many times? Forgiveness. How many times? The Gospel of Matthew contains 5 collections of the teachings of Jesus. The most familiar of these teaching collections is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 1 to Matthew 7, verse 27. Today's Gospel, from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, is part of the 4th teaching collection of Jesus. It begins in chapter 16, verse 1, and is called the Church Discourse. Having established that the church, his community of believers, will be set up on the belief that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus sets out the standards that will be expected by those in his community, the church. In our gospel last Sunday, from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, Jesus spoke about the response his disciples should have to those who have wronged them. He emphasized reconciliation before discipline. He provided 3 opportunities for reconciliation before discipline. Acknowledging that reconciliation involves forgiveness, Simon Peter, in our gospel for today, wonders about the limits of forgiveness. So Simon would ask Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Simon Peter must have believed that he was being very generous. 7 times. 7, the perfect number for the Jews. So surely Jesus would not expect him to forgive more than 7 times. So Peter must have found Jesus' response very surprising. Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 70 times 7. In other words, Simon, forgiveness has no limit. Jesus continues to put forgiveness in the context of justice. He tells a parable. This parable is often called the parable of the unforgiving servant, who is the principal character in the story. However, careful examination shows that the parable is first and foremost about the king who shows mercy. That is where their forgiveness started. The king is settling accounts with his servants. He begins with one who owes him a huge amount of money, 10,000 talents. By today's reckoning, millions of dollars, a debt he could never repay in his lifetime. As he could not pay, the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and all his possessions be sold and payment made. The servant begs for mercy. "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything," he says. Although we know that that is an impossible promise. This plea for mercy brought a surprising response from the king. He not only agreed not to sell the servant and his family into slavery, he forgives the entire debt unconditionally. The servant does not have to repay a single cent. A weight is lifted off his shoulder. He is free from debt. He can start afresh, a new life without the burden of debt. However, he begins his new life on the wrong foot. He goes out and meets a fellow servant who owes him much less than he owed the king. His fellow servant owed him a few hundred dollars. He seized him by the throat and demands payment. His fellow servant makes the same plea. "Have patience with me and I will pay you." He refused. He threw his fellow servant in prison until he could pay the debt. Interestingly, his fellow servants are distressed by the injustice and they get involved. They report the incident to the king, who summoned the unforgiving servant, upbraids him, and hands him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. This would certainly lead to his demise. Jesus concludes the parable with the words, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart." This parable speaks to us as disciples of Christ today. Notice, forgiveness began with the king. As he hung on the cross in the face of humiliation, rejection, and abuse, his first words, not only to the Jews and Romans who were putting him to death, but to all of us, they speak to us down the ages. He said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Luke 23, verse 34. God is ready, willing, and able to forgive us our debt of sin, large as it may be, if we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. All our sins will be removed. We have that eternal promise from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." We are then invited by God's grace as we have been forgiven, to forgive those who sin against us. God forgives us every time we are truly penitent. We are therefore called to forgive those who sin against us every time. We are to do to others as God in Christ has done for us. The hymn writer reminds us, He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. So we must always remember that forgiveness began with Christ the King. As disciples of Christ, members of the church, we are not to follow the example of the unforgiving servant and forget the love of God demonstrated to us in forgiveness. We are to demonstrate the same love to others by forgiving those who sin against us. We are reminded that forgiveness comes out of love, and love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. To be able to forgive others, we have to allow ourselves to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, who will not only enable us to forgive, but also to recognize injustice. In the parable, the fellow servants witness the treatment that the unforgiving servant meted out to his fellow servant. They recognize the injustice. They were unhappy with that injustice and showed solidarity with the ill-treated servant. They would not keep silent in the face of injustice. They would take the matter to the king, even though there was no benefit for them in that action. Remember, one of our five marks of mission is to seek to transform unjust structures in society. As disciples of Christ, we must not keep silent in the face of injustice. We must find creative ways of bringing injustice to the attention of those who have the power and authority to bring about change. This is part of the mission of the church. This is part of our mission as disciples of Christ today. Simon Peter asked the question, how many times should he forgive? Jesus, in response, points to another important truth. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. We must always bear in mind that everyone who is in a position to forgive others is also always in need of forgiveness themselves. Forgiveness from God and from our fellow human beings who we would certainly have wronged. We receive forgiveness freely from God as we confess our sins. As disciples of Christ, we are obligated to forgive those who have sinned against us. Jesus reminds us that we must forgive from the heart. Our forgiveness must not be mere words that come so easy from our lips. Our forgiveness must be genuine. It must come from a deep love for God and a love for ourselves and a love for our brothers and sisters. Since forgiveness comes from love, we are reminded that God so loved the world that God gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore, as disciples of Christ today, we are reminded that we are called to obey the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. Only if we are filled with God's love can we forgive as Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Master, desires of us, that we forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. So we need to ask ourselves, how often will our Heavenly Father forgive us? And the response, every time we are truly penitent. How often will we forgive those who sin against us? By God's grace and the love, power, and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we will be able to forgive every time. Let us pray that as we journey through life, as we face its trials and tribulations, as we receive God's forgiveness as disciples of Christ, we will be able to forgive others, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, every time. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, we confess that we often look back. We look back on mistakes we have made, work left undone, people we have hurt, excuses we have made. We see these as things for which we feel guilty. We overwhelm ourselves with regret. Free us, O God, from the self-condemnation that immobilizes us. Allow us to remember that you call us to look back, to remember those times of joy, to remember those people who were kind and compassionate, to remember that we did the best we are able, to remember that you journey with us each day of our life. May we continue to grow in grace and truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, in a world where many are lonely, we thank you for our friendships. In a world where many are captive, we thank you for our freedom. In a world where many are hungry, we thank you for your provision. We pray that you will enlarge our sympathy, deepen our compassion, and give us grateful hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Lord, we thank you for all the love that has been given to us, for the love of family and friends, and above all, for your love poured out upon us every moment of our lives in steadfast glory. Forgive our unworthiness. Forgive the many times we have disappointed those who love us, have failed them, weary them, sadden them. Failing them, we have failed you. and hurting them, we have wounded our Savior, who for love's sake died for us. Lord, have mercy on us and forgive. You do not fail those who love you. You do not change nor vary. Teach us, your own constant in love, your humility, selflessness, and generosity. Look in pity on our small and tarnished loving. Protect, foster, and strengthen it, that it may be less unworthy to be offered to you and to your children. O light of the world, teach us how to love. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in that service, may God be above you to protect you, before you to guide you, beneath you to support you, within you to give you his peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. And remember to test positive for faith, keep distance from doubt, isolate from fear, and trust God. And we pray that you will have a very rewarding and spirit-filled week. Obey the regulations and be safe. Thank you.